Good morning. I'm the substitute for the substitute. A lot of you know me, some of you don't. If you're visiting, well, this isn't the normal thing you get here. My name's Jimmy Wells. Moved to Cisco a couple of years ago, and God sent me to this church. So I thought I'd tell you a little bit about myself. Saved in a revival meeting when I was 16. I told God when I was 21 and finished college, I said, if you want me to, I'll preach for you. I could hear laughter. God called me into the ministry when I was 42. I went to seminary. When I finished seminary, I started a ministry work in a low-income area around around Granbury. And I spent the next 25 years working in the maintenance department at the seminary. I used to tell people I work so I can support my habit of preaching on weekends. This is my first chance to get to preach here. Open with a word of prayer and we'll see what God has to say. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the gathering of this people. Thank you for this lighthouse you have here by the side of the highway. May we be a bright light to the world around us. Bless this message now in Christ's name. God works in all kinds of different situations. The Christian religion is the only one I know of that transfers to cultures and works in that culture without losing its message. If you were a Muslim, you got to learn Arabic and pray in Arabic no matter what your culture. But in Christianity, you get God's word in your language and you keep your culture. It just gets modified by Christ. In Africa, I had a friend I work with, and he said in Zambia, said they don't need a building. They just find a big tree and meet under a tree. In parts of the world, the church thrives by being underground. It has to be in secret to keep the people alive. But the same message works everywhere. And as cultures change, the message doesn't change, but the way it's expressed does. And in this culture, there's some things about the American culture aren't really always helpful. Following instructions. What's the first thing you do, especially the guys, when you get something and you open it up and there right on top is a list of instructions? What do you do with that? First thing, throw it away. And then a couple of hours later, you look puzzled and you go to the trash can and pull that back out because you found out you should have read the instructions. Sometimes it might be important to read the instructions. Something that I never knew until just a few years ago, that you ought to read the label on the back of your tube of toothpaste. How many people have done that? There is a warning on toothpaste tubes, and it's a mandatory requirement by the Food and Drug Administration to seek professional help if they swallow more toothpaste than they use for brushing. It says, if you swallow toothpaste, you should call the Poison Control Center immediately. Now, what it doesn't tell you is that warning's primarily for young kids, because they could actually die from the fluoride in the toothpaste if they swallow enough of it. And they make a lot of kids' toothpaste kind of have a bubblegummy flavor or sweet flavor. So they have to put that warning on there. Problem is, they don't put it in big letters. Nobody reads it. It could be serious if you don't read those instructions. But we don't like to read instructions. Years ago, there was a computer program called Lotus 1-2-3, and it was the program back in the 80s. and it came on 6 floppy, on 10 floppy disks. It was a big program, and it had a big, thick book, and nobody read it. They just got in and started working with it. They tell me in Japan, the first thing they did when they got that program was they laid it aside, and they got that manual, and they read the whole manual. And then they put the program in and started using it. Subaru boiled its 450-page owner's manual. How many of you bought a new vehicle, and the owner's manual is 200, 300, or 400 pages? And how many of you read past the first part? Subaru boiled it down to an 8-panel. Well, in this country, more people than I thought read. The average amount of books read by an American in a single year is 12, one a month. I think when they did that survey, people kind of fibbed a little. Americans between the age of 15 and 44 spend 10 minutes or less a day reading books, and 27% of Americans didn't read a book at all. Just 6 minutes a day of extra reading will increase a child's reading potential. What's all that got to do with the Bible? Well, reading the Bible is reading God's instruction book for life. Get the instructions down right, life can be a lot easier. Another statistic, American Bible Society's report, 26 million people in the United States stopped reading the Bible entirely or mostly in 2022. Now, you would think the shape our country's in, the shape our world's in, you'd want to read it more and get a good handle on the instructions. Bible reading and usage reached an all-time low in the United States, with only 39% reading the Bible on their own outside of a church setting. A record low 20% of Americans now consider the Bible to be the literal word of God. Meanwhile, 29% view the Bible as a collection of fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. Jesus left some instructions. Matthew 28:17-20 talks about the appearance of Jesus after his resurrection. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Verse 19, it says, go and make disciples. Disciples are students, they're learners. They said, go out and help people learn about me. Teach them or instruct them to observe what I've taught you, all that I've commanded you. How do they do that? How did the original disciples do? They went out and they told the story of Jesus to different people, and those that accepted it, they brought them together and started a church. The church is where you get instruction. It's where you follow and fellowship and grow in Christ. The instructions that you need for your life are found throughout the Bible. Solomon was supposedly the smartest man that ever lived. He studied and read and built a big library, and people just came to him to hear wisdom. And he wrote some of his wisdom down in a book called Proverbs. Proverbs 1:1-2 gives the introduction. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. And this statistic says a large percentage of the people have quit reading the instructions. 26 million people quit reading the instructions for life. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. How do little kids learn? How do all these little kids that wandered away over there, what are they doing? They're learning. They're getting instructions. They imitate their parents. They imitate the people around them. We're all God's children. What are we supposed to do? Supposed to imitate Jesus and learn from people around us who are maybe a little further along in their journey. How do we know how to live the Christian life? Well, we read the instruction book, and it gives us pages and pages of instructions, and then it gives us examples. I like the book of Jonah. You know, you can read the book of Jonah out loud in less than 5 minutes. Now, I know we all waste 5 minutes several times a day. What does Jonah, book of Jonah, teach us? Teaches us, one, if you're called by God, you better not try going the other way. It won't work out good for you. Teaches, two, God's a God of second chances. If you've messed up once, you ought not to mess up on that second chance, because there might not be a third. And then it teaches us, God will do with you what he wants to, not what you want to do. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to preach. And he tried to run away. And God convinced him the hard way he shouldn't do that. So he said, all right, I'll go. And he went and he preached the message. And guess what? That message caught hold and the people changed. And so God didn't have to do what he's going to do because the people repented. And then Jonah got upset because it didn't go his way. It went God's way. But there's something about Jonah that's not in the Bible. Jonah went up and he sat on that hill waiting to watch Nineveh get destroyed. And when the people repented and God didn't destroy it, he got mad. And then God did a few things to convince him. He didn't have a right to get mad. And apparently Jonah died there. We don't get that in the Bible. But I worked with a guy who was a refugee from Saddam's army. He had been in Saddam's army in the Gulf War, and he didn't want to be associated with Saddam anymore. So he got to Kuwait, got to Europe, and then came here as a political refugee. And I used to have lunch with him in the break room nearly every day. And I said, what do you know about Jonah's Mount? He said, oh, those people up there, they're crazy. They have a celebration once a year to honor Jonah. This is thousands of years after Jonah brought the message to Nineveh. Nineveh went up and down, was finally destroyed later on. There's just a big ruins in the middle of the area that was Nineveh. It's a different town now. But there's still people there that remember that Jonah brought the message of God and saved some of their ancestors. So God will honor your work if you follow his instructions, even if you're not happy about it. Sometimes God asks you to do things you really don't want to do. But if you do it, there'll be a reward. That's part of the wisdom you get from the Bible. Solomon was big on instructions. Proverbs 1:22 says, how long, naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? Simple-minded people don't take in wisdom, think they've got it. In Proverbs 4:1-2, it says, hear, my sons, the instructions of a father, and give your attention that you may get understanding. For I give you sound teaching, do not abandon my instructions. We get good instructions from wiser people that guide us. I know in this day and age, if you want to learn how to do something, you go to YouTube, put in your problem. The problem is you don't know that those guys that did that instruction video really know what they're doing. I worked for 25 years doing building maintenance at Southwestern Seminary, and I had a crew of guys. And one of the things we had to do was, like after a windstorm or a hailstorm, go replace a few shingles. I had taken guys and crawled up on a roof and showed them how to do it. But every semester, some of them graduate and some new guys come in, I was always having to do training. I thought, well, I'll find a video about how to replace a shingle, and I can just show this video of those guys. I won't have to go out there and climb up on the roof and say, here's how you do it. I looked at about 15 videos on how to repair a roof. I found one that was right. The rest of them, the guys didn't get instructions. They went and made it up and they said, oh, I know how to do this. I'll film it and put it online. We have that problem with the Bible. We've got people that take a word or a passage out of the Bible out of context and make it something that's a rule or a guide. You need to be familiar with the whole thing. Proverbs 24:32 says, when I saw, I reflected upon it, I looked and then he received instructions. Jesus said, I'm going away. I won't be physically here anymore. But I'll send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to guide you. If you open this Bible and let the Spirit guide you in learning about God, then you're getting instruction that's good. If you go with preconceived notions and say, I'm going to make this Bible verse fit my idea of what should be, then you're going to go back to Proverbs 1:22. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? Don't be simple-minded. However, don't think that you're going to ever learn all that's in this Bible. You can spend your whole life reading it and still find new treasures. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but things revealed belong to us and our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. There's some things you're not going to understand because the secret things belong to the Lord, but the revealed things, the things that are in this Bible that you read in context and in understanding how God worked from Genesis through Revelation, that you can get a hold of. The Holy Spirit can open these. I've had passages I've read several times and just kind of read over them and yeah, I got that. And then one day I opened it up and God opens my mind and how did I miss that all this time? You never get through finding new insights into your life through God's Word. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring your children up. And your children may not always be children. There may be people that didn't grow up in church. I had a lady in my first church who got saved. She was at least second or third generation people that never went to church, never opened a Bible. Any Bible story I wanted to use for reference, she didn't know what I was talking about. If I said, you know how David overcame Goliath, wouldn't mean a thing to her. It's important that we tell these Bible stories to the children. And if they're not children, it's important that we tell these stories, people that are children in Christ. New believers may have bad information. Had a pretty good middle school group. And one day we had youth group on Tuesdays, and most of them didn't go to church or went to a different church. And my youth guy was teaching them stuff, and one of them jumped up and said, Jesus was black. And he said, where did you get that? South Park? If you get your theology from a semi-perverted cartoon show on TV is not going to be good theology. Job is one of my favorite books. You kind of have to wade through part of it to get to the good part, but that's where the background is. And sometimes God opens up and said, oh, you thought this was boring. Now look at it again. Job 22:22 says, please receive instruction from his mouth and establish his word in your heart. Job 33:16, it says, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Instructions are important. Whether it's putting together a table, there's a TV commercial where this young couple has put together this little IKEA table, and oh, it's ready to go. And then she says, what's this for? And then the table falls over. It's memorable because it's so true. What do you do with the parts bag that's left over and you think you're done? Instructions are important. Timothy tells us in 3:14 through 17, 2 Timothy, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing whom you have learned them, that from childhood you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, and correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. We read the New Testament mostly. We had a guy when I was in college, he went and visited the church we were going to. Somebody asked him if he had a Bible. He said, I've got a New Testament. We don't ever read the Old Testament in my church. He was Presbyterian. And I kind of thought, you don't read the whole Bible? You stop and realize everything that Jesus quoted from the Bible was from the Old Testament. New Testament hadn't been written yet. We have a new covenant, and we live under a different dispensation, if you will. If you're a dispensationalist, if you're not, we live under the grace of God through Jesus' sacrifice. But the whole scripture is our instructions. And if you get dedicated to reading the Bible all the way through, in about 15 minutes a day, you can read it through in a year. Or you can just get one of these Bibles that's divided up, gives you thoughts. Or you can get a Bible that's chronological. It puts all these Old Testament stories in the historical order. Or you can just pick up this book in the King James or the New King James or the NIV. There's over 20 different translations of the Bible into the English language. You can argue over certain passages and certain ways certain words are translated, but the truth of God is in all of them. I grew up quite a while ago. It was King James or the RS Revised Standard Edition, which my conservative people always said Revised Satanic Edition. God's truth is the same in any of these if you don't take your preconceived ideas, if you let God speak through it. And if you read it in Spanish or Portuguese or Italian or anything else, that's the beauty of God's Word. It's the instructions you get out of it. It's not word-for-word translation. So I've got this little chart here I ran across. It impressed me. It's a lot longer than what I'm going to read you, but it says if you read the Bible once a day or twice, 2 days a week or 3 days a week, you'll do a little better. But it says if you read 4 days a week, the effects of reading the Bible spike. The findings include the following. Feeling lonely drops by 30%. Anger issues drop 32%. Bitterness in relationships drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Sex outside marriage drops 68%. Feeling spiritually stagnant drops 60%. Viewing pornography drops 61%. Sharing your faith increases 200%. Discipling others increases 230%. You can't disciple or teach anybody what you don't know. So if you read the Bible daily, your life is going to get better in almost every way. Does that work exactly that way for everybody? No, not everybody. It may only help you 30% from feeling lonely. It may help you 10%, or it may help you 50%. These are just averages from a study, but it's all positive. If you knew you were going to be healthier and live longer by taking a pill, you'd take that pill every day. I've been taking a blood pressure pill for 30 years, and my blood pressure is better than it used to. But reading the Bible can do much more than that for you. So the message I've got today is, read the instructions. It'll make your life better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've told us to go and make disciples, teaching them. Help us to not only be teachers, but to be good students and to keep growing until you call us home. Your word and your teachings are. Bless us now in Christ's name.